You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Camp coverage and this game coverage on The Fan, presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, you're clear home improvement choice. Pleased to welcome onto the show Mike Giardi, who covers the Patriots and all things NFL on the All 32 podcast, Boston Sports Journal. Mike, thanks for hopping aboard here in D.C. How you doing?
What's up, Mike?
I appreciate you guys having me. Great day for football here in New England. Nice weather, blue skies, ready to go.
I'm fired up to hear that. We're just excited that it's back. I was joking earlier with my co-host Linnell here that this is one of those nights where by the end of the night, a lot of people complain about the quality of the game or whatever, but it's just an annual, it's like a summer rite of passage to get really excited for a game that an hour or so into it, like you got to, it's homework, you got to really want to watch it, but it still feels awesome that it's here.
Yeah, I mean, it just tells you how close we're getting to the thing counting for real, you know. I mean, it's, I think 27 days now till the kickoff, so that's like crazy, you know. You go through this period there, especially in April and May, where you're just like, OTA once a week or something. You're like, this is not enough. It's not, you know, they're not real football yet. They're not in full pads. And then you get to this point, and all of a sudden, it's like full speed ahead. You're ready to dive in, and I'm kind of ready to fast forward to week one, if we're going to be honest here.
Mike, you guys have had a pretty interesting offseason, a lot of change. Mike Vrabel being brought in, Josh McDaniels brought back into the fold, year two of Drake May. Throughout the first like couple of weeks of camp, what's been the biggest thing that stood out about this year's iteration of the Patriots?
I mean, I think first things first is this is an actual professional operation, which I don't know that it's been the last couple of years. And I even go back to Bill's last couple, you know, the 2023 with the Matt Patricia, Joe Judge running the offense thing, even though neither one of those guys had ever done that before, followed by the Gerard Mayo experience last year. You know, you watch them dating back to the spring, and it's just like they know what they're doing. You know, there's very little wasted time and movement here. It's from one thing to the next, and, you know, you can see what they're working on, and you can see some improvement. So I think that has to give everybody, and has to this point in New England, you know, who are fans of the Patriots, a much better feeling and some excitement for the season coming. And I think just you look at Drake's development here in year two, you know, learning another new offense. This is his fourth offensive coordinator in 4 years, dating back to college. I thought it might take him a little bit longer, and maybe, you know, we'll see what that looks like in the preseason. But to this point, I think the arrow is pointing up and that he's grasping what Josh wants done. Ball's getting out of his hand quicker, better decisions, had been taking care of the football. There was the interception in the joint practice, but by and large, like, he looks like a much more confident operator of the system than he did at any point last year.
Yeah, and he had so little help around him last season. I wonder how you grade his rookie year, and then also just the projection for him going into year two.
You know, so hard last year, right? To your point, it's just like not much there. Couldn't pass block. I think they were the 31st or 32nd ranked offensive line, depending on which metric you go by and which site you go by. But like, I mean, I watched it up close and personal, legitimate. I can't imagine anybody had a worse offensive line. And then this receiver room has not been good for 6-7 years, you know, and they've taken stabs at it. N'Keal Harry, Tyquan Thornton last year, Jalen Polk and Javon Baker in the fourth round, Polk in the second. And none of those guys, at least to this point or in the past, did anything. So, you know, adding Diggs, certainly gives them, raises the floor of that group. We'll see about the overall ceiling, but I think just having better players around him, and certainly a coaching staff that has done this before versus the one that was last year, Alex Van Pelt, who I came to respect and thought he did a decent job with what he had. But there's a reason Alex didn't call plays for 20 years. They didn't just bypass him because, they wanted the young hot thing. No, he never was that, and he was fine as an OC. I think he did a fine job developing Drake, but this is different having Josh McDaniels here and with all his experience and wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, you mentioned it being, a professional NFL outfit now, and it hadn't been that over the past, several years. Mike Vrabel, let's be real here, Mike, shouldn't have been available. There was a rift between him and ownership there in Tennessee. What has been the most impressive thing about him since you've gotten to cover him through OTAs and through the offseason to this point? Because he seems like a no-nonsense guy, but, everybody that you talk to around the league, love him. A big, soft teddy bear, but also has got that hard side to him as well.
Well, you said it, right? I think there's no BS.
Yeah.
I think guys know where they stand. He tells the best players, I need more from you. Yeah. You're one of our best players. I can't get a B minus effort from you. I need A plus every single game. And then even then, he's probably going to find a way to knock you down to an A minus so he can keep pushing you.
Right.
So I think there's that. And I think there is – Mike's interesting, right, because he played the game. He lived through the double sessions and all the different things and was under Belichick. But he definitely understands – the player's side of it more. And there are times, he doesn't want to be compared to Bill, or he doesn't really want to hear those sort of conversations. But every once in a while, when he says something to us, it makes me think of, it's not necessarily a shot at Bill, but it's just like we watch negative film. We can't just show the guys all the good stuff. You have to show them the things they did wrong, or the things, around the league that we don't want them to do, stuff as they say, the bleep that loses your football games. But that, he said, I was a player on the other side of that. You can only see so much of that and hear so much about that before you're like, all right, I'm tuning this guy out. And I think he's trying to walk that line of being a tough guy, wanting maximum effort from his guys, but also understanding hey, the league's changed. The rules are different and the players are different. The modern player is not the same kind of guy that it was in the league even, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, certainly not when Mike played.
Mike Giardi is joining us on Grant and Danny ahead of tonight's Patriots-Commanders preseason game from the Boston Sports Journal. Two organizations are in slightly different places here, right? Washington coming off of a conference title game. They're actually, it sounds like, not going to play starters mostly at all. I wonder what the plan is for New England. Are we going to see Drake May and some of their ones for any time tonight?
Well, if it was up to me, which, I don't get paid the big bucks that Mike Vrabel does, I wouldn't put any important starter out there, because when you look at this Patriots roster, even though it's gotten significantly better from what it was last year or 2 years ago, they're still paper thin. You look at the depth chart, you're like, oh, I like that guy. I like my number one at DT. I like my number one corner. I like my number. But then you're like, oh, but what's behind it? And so I would just be – and I know you can get hurt doing anything, but I'd be mortified that I lose one of my key players in a meaningless preseason game. If he's going to go down, let's make it when it happens for real. But Vrabel did say to us that his anticipation was, and this was earlier in the week, that if you're healthy, you're going to play. So I'm guessing it's going to be quick, but I'm guessing we get a series or two from the likes of Drake May and some of the starters.
Yeah, I like it. Old school mentality. I think you're starting to see some other teams in the NFL shift towards that mentality as well, so I get it. There was a lot of scrutiny surrounding Will Campbell during this pre-draft process, Mike, with the arm length and things of that nature. We've got our own first-round tackle here in D.C. that's had some growing pains in terms of getting acclimated to the NFL level, flashed actually up there in New England, according to folks that were out there. What have you made of Will Campbell to this point, and how confident are you that he's going to be able to be that, 17-week left tackle for you guys?
Well, let me just say quickly, I loved Connolly coming out.
Yeah.
I would have, had I been the Patriots and I could have gotten something where I could have moved down and maybe acquired another first-round pick and then been able to know that I could secure the tackle, that's what I would have done. I am a little concerned about some of the measurables with Campbell. I go back to 1999, as far as they've gone back, I guess, where there's never been a player with the arm length / wingspan / hand size, because even his hands aren't like giant, that has ever been an all pro. And to me, when you're picking at number 4 overall, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for, but bottom line, he's got to be at least a Pro Bowler. But we know, like, and I'm talking a real one, not one who gets in like Mac Jones did a few years ago, where he was like the ninth guy and everybody else walked away, but like a real one. And so that's my concern, is whether or not he can be that kind of player, or if eventually he ends up moving on the inside, which sometimes when I watch him play, I go, God, I think he'd be an awesome guard right now. You know, whereas I think a tackle, first of all, very few guys I think step into the league and are awesome right away at tackle. I think it's a hard position. But, you know, I have some concerns. I'll give him credit, I think, in the last week, where I think the arrow is pointing up, and I think he has been in team sessions more than one-on-ones. And I guess I don't really care about one-on-ones. I know some people do. Yeah. I care more about the team stuff. I think he's been pretty good in team. So I was sort of dubious of the pick. But to this point, I guess I would say it's been fine. It's not bad. Like, we'll see where it continues to go. But for now, you know, it looks like, to some degree, he's got great feet, that the feet are helping him, sometimes at least, overcome the lack of length on the edge.
Will Campbell, the first-round pick, who actually blocked for Jaden Daniels at LSU at one point in time, will be one mm-hmm. of very likely three new starters at different points. Maybe even four, I guess, for the Patriots as they move forward this year. Going to the defensive side of the ball with the money that they spent in free agency, we know well what Milton Williams means up front, dealt with him in Philadelphia. I know they also went out and got Spillane at linebacker, Landry off the edge, Davis in the secondary. Carlton Davis got $20-some million, I think, a year. Mm-hmm. How much better should they be on that side of the ball, and how is it coming together right now for them?
Well, I mean, part of the problem for them right now is both Gonzalez and Davis are hurt. Gonzalez got hurt in the first week of camp with a hamstring. I don't know that we're going to see him before week one. Like, I think you probably could if they had to, if this was a regular season type situation. Maybe he would be out there sooner, but I think they're going to play the long game with him. And Davis, who misses a month every season, go look it up. I don't think he's played more than 13 games since, like, 2019. He came in, practiced like the first day, and then has been out of practice except for the walkthroughs. So no one will tell me what's going on. Vrabel was saying some sort of maintenance thing, but I think we're past the point of maintenance now. So it's hard to gauge on that because you haven't had your top corners out there. But to me, they should be somewhere in that like 10 to 12, 10 to 14 range as a defense. And then, you know, someone like Keon White, who's their third year edge rusher, if he takes the step forward, which quite frankly, if he doesn't do it this year, I wonder if it'll ever happen, because, you know, Williams and Barmore are going to get a ton of attention inside. And if those guys play the way they're capable of, that's going to be a problem for opposing defenses, which means he's getting singled up on the outside. But if they can't get that sort of push from him, then I say 10 to 14. And if they can get that kind of jump and 10-plus sacks from him, then maybe they crack the top 10.
Trevion Henderson's someone that, you know, I had circled during the pre-draft process. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that's just got juice. Everything I've read, all the press clippings out of, you know, Foxborough throughout campus, he's been absolutely electric. You guys haven't had, you know, a dynamic running back in that backfield for a while, it feels like. Is he the type of cat that you expect to be an every down back, or do you think, you know, early on here they'll use him situationally?
I think because of the way Josh runs his offense, it might be a little bit more situationally, or it might be, you know, sort of a Ramondre, Antonio Gibson, Trevion Henderson three-headed monster. He's been he's been as good as advertised. You know, in fact, the dust up that we had that involved Vrabel jumping into the middle of the fight was him on blitz pickup, which is one of the things that people at Ohio State and around the league were like, this dude is already a pro level like pass protector, and that's hard to do. I think the Patriots have had some good ones over the years. Shane Vereen, Kevin Falk, Danny Woodhead did a great job with it. James White, and almost every one of those guys had to have a redshirt year to like learn the nuances of it. I don't think Trevion's going to have a redshirt year. I think when they saw him in the second round, it was like, well, maybe we could use a receiver here over a running back, but this guy here is the best playmaker available, and we need playmakers, so we'll take the running back in the second round and see if they can make it work.
Mike Giardi, we'll let you out on this one. What did you make of Washington's time at practice with the Patriots, the workout they had, and just from afar, what's your take on the Commanders from what you've seen?
My take on the Commanders is, I don't know what the hell you're doing with Terry McLaurin, but get it done with and get him in, because to me, I was focused largely on the defense on the joint practices on Wednesday. My boss was doing the offense, and I would tell you that I don't think the Patriots, and again, we're talking about the backup corners because the first two corners weren't out there, did a pretty good job hemming up Luke McCaffrey, Debo Samuel, et cetera. They couldn't cover Zach Ertz, which God bless that guy. Like, it's unbelievable that what he did last year and what he plans to do in this year. But I think without McLaurin, my outlook on that team changes because I just don't think that there's enough high-end talent. You put him in there, and all of a sudden you slot everybody in the right place, and it's like, all right, here we go. But with him out there, and he's throwing to, you know, Chris Moore, and he's throwing to Luke, and like, that's – they may be fine players, but they're not Terry McLaurin, and no. Terry McLaurin's a difference maker, so they better figure that thing out.
Mike Girardi, Boston Sports Journal, appreciate you making some time for us, brother. We'll do it again soon, man.
A lot of fun, guys. Take care.
Be well. There's Mike Girardi. Good info going into tonight's game. I like getting that perspective, and I thoroughly enjoyed Linnell seeing a lot of the Patriots media talking about the Commanders. That's one of the valuable things, too, I feel about these joint practices, because two things happen when you're out at practice every single day covering your own team. Number one, you see guys, you come up with opinions, and then you kind of start confirming your own priors.
Yeah.
Right? So when you like a guy and you've heard good things from the team and then you watch him have some good practices, you tend to like focus on the positives, not the negatives, and vice versa. If someone is probably not going to make the roster, then you're probably underlying the negative more than you are the positive. The other thing is there's groupthink, right? We're all standing on the sideline. We're all asking each other, hey, did you see this? What did you see here? And there's a lot of conversing about different players, and I think it all kind of blends in sometimes with things that you're hearing from coaches and players and sharing of information. So I just like, and I have always, dating back to the Richmond camp when the Texans would come in or when I was on the beat, a little bit before the actual traveling for practices, but there would be like scrimmages occasionally. Just somebody else's fresh eyes on this thing. What are you seeing? But that was a prevailing thought from the Patriots media, was they were blown away by Zach Ertz, who I think's had another really good training camp and looks like if he could stay healthy, the ageless wonder is going to have another very strong season. For whatever reason, he was getting beat up by Commanders fans early last year. I never really understood it. But as the year went on, his value became more and more obvious. He became a huge part of their offense. And all of them, to a man, kind of said what we've seen, which is, wait, this is the wide receiver group?
Two.
Like, this is the team telling Terry McLaurin, our way or the highway? I mean, when you go out there for a couple days and you watch Chris Moore running as the primary receiver when Debo's in motion –
it ain't pretty.
It makes you feel a little differently about getting Terry back.
Yeah, totally. And I think, like you said, to hear it from an outsider's perspective is refreshing. And it's cool, you know, on our behalf. We're out there every day. It's all kind of confirming our thoughts, too. Like, they need Terry McLaurin. And, you know, the longer this thing drags out, the less it begins to make sense here in terms of what's going on and how they're going to figure it out. The other thing, too, that we didn't see, to the team's credit, I don't believe Noah Brown was a participant in the joint practice, and I know he is, you know, a big part of what they want to do offensively, and they look at him, you know, as a high-quality number two wide receiver in this league. But the bottom line is, as we've been talking about for the past several weeks, like, if there's any leverage that Terry McLaurin does have in this situation, it's the fact that the receiver room sans him is average to below average at best there.
Well, here's what I'm going to be monitoring over the next 10 days or so. Do they go get a veteran?
That'll
I don't think they would bring in like an Amari Cooper, right?
But
say Gabe Davis. Somebody like if they were to sign a guy, it would tell you that they are preparing for life without Terry. And by not doing that, it is an indicator to me that they're anticipating, either by way of a deal getting done or just him having to show up, that at some point he's going to tuck his tail between his legs and come back through that door. But I don't think a guy like a Michael Gallup or a K.J. Osborne is necessarily making the team. I think they would rather just go out and grab somebody else that's out there and bring that guy in. But that's something we'll be trying to track as we go forward. We're going to talk to Sam Monson next from the 33rd team. Want to get his thoughts on the McLaurin saga. More importantly, though, a lot of preseason action coming up this weekend. What are the storylines we should be watching as NFL fans? That's next on Grant and Danny. No Danny today on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All of our training camp coverage today on Grant and Danny is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Pretty significant benchmark in the preseason slate tonight for the Commanders as they play their first preseason game of this August against the Patriots. One of three NFL games tonight, and then a heavy dose of action tomorrow. To spin us around the league and look at some of the big storylines, we welcome onto the show Sam Monson of the 33rd team, longtime friend of the program from Check the Mic. Sam, it's Grant and Linnell who's in for Danny today. How are you? We appreciate the time.
What's up, Sam?
Yeah, I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Football time. We are good to go. We're a few hours away from kickoff of real life, kind of, football, and we are jacked up about it, so we're ready. I wanted to start, though, with a game from last night and a storyline I'm sure you guys tracked today on your broadcast, which was the Anthony Richardson injury for the Colts. Being injured the way that he was, I mean, I still feel equally as bad for him, but, you know, guy comes free, he doesn't protect the way he's supposed to, it's kind of his guy. Like, how damaging is that, literally, figuratively, kind of across the board, that right away in their preseason opener, a quarterback competition, he gets hurt? And does this mean maybe that now he won't be their starter, or do we not have enough info on the injury timeline to be able to answer that?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of worst-case scenario for Anthony Richardson. He's in this quarterback competition, this battle now to keep his job, and the reason for that is that, you know, he hasn't shown them since they drafted him and took him at the top of the draft and committed to him as their guy that he can be the quarterback long term, both in terms of his play and in terms of staying healthy. So those two things, I think, are both working against him at this point. Chris Ballard has come out and said that he hasn't proved he can play a 17-game schedule. That alone, you know, is reason for bringing in competition and, you know, somebody over his shoulder. And this is now the second time already after just the first preseason game that he's gotten hurt and opened the door a bit for Daniel Jones. It happened earlier in the offseason, and it happened basically as soon as he stepped foot onto the field. The fact that it looks like it was his guy as well, that it was his mistake in protection, and just a sort of general misread of the play by Richardson, only makes it worse. You know, you kind of got yourself hurt getting hurt in and of itself is a massive problem, and it was your mental screw-up that caused the problem in the first place, yeah, it couldn't have gone much worse for Anthony Richardson in that regard.
And then the crazier part about it, Sam, is Daniel Jones comes in and is 10 of 21 for 144 yards. So if you're a Colts fan out there, like, how do you feel about your quarterback room right now?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to feel great. You know, Daniel Jones has shown the last few years that, you know, he's lost jobs because of his level of play. So he's unlikely to be the answer. I mean, he's already not been the answer for one team. I think injuries sort of changed the course of his career as well. He became a very different quarterback, became arguably the kind of the most conservative, least aggressive quarterback in the NFL over the last couple of years after, you know, being nicknamed Danny Dimes because of the big plays he had early in his career, and those just evaporated. So, you know, unless they come back as part of his game, the ceiling with Daniel Jones, I think, is very limited.
Sam Monson on Grant and Danny as we get ready for preseason football tonight on The Fan. I try not to take a ton out of the actual performances, right? But the Bengals had a good chunk of their starting defense on the field last evening, and Tanner McKee sliced them and diced them. I just wonder what an outing like that or multiple of them would mean for any of these stare downs. Like, we're dealing with the Terry McLaurin sequence that won't end here. And if Washington goes out, and when they're playing starters, their receivers look like they haven't practiced without McLaurin, which is struggling to beat man, does that actually change anything? Or do the teams kind of already know what they have and what they don't, and it doesn't factor into the equation?
Yeah, I mean, I think the teams both know, in both those two cases, McLaurin and Trey Hendrickson, I think both teams know, you know, what they have in those guys, and I think they're pretty aware what happens if they don't have them. And it's why, you know, certainly I think the chances that either guy gets traded is basically zero, because you can't replace those guys now. You know, if this had happened before the draft, you would have the draft, you would have potentially free agency to replace a player of maybe not the same caliber, but something approaching that caliber. And you could get away with it. You could convince yourself that that was a net win overall. There's no argument that that could be the case now. If you lose McLaurin or you lose Hendrickson, you get worse now. Maybe long term, you'll be better off once you can, you know, use that saved money or whatever. But there's just no way that this upcoming season you're not going to take a step backwards. So, they reinforce that. They underline that every outing without those guys, and you see just what it looks like without them. But I think ultimately the teams are pretty aware of that anyway, and they're just trying to dig their heels in financially and, you know, not get raked over the coals as much as they could be if they just gave the player everything they wanted financially.
I want to look at that same game but through a different lens. Three Eagles really jumped off of the page last night. The quarterback, which Grant just mentioned, Tanner McKee, 20 of 25, 252 and two touchdowns. He looked good in the spot action that he got at the end of last year. But their two receivers, Johnny Wilson and Darius Cooper, also stood out. I continue to call Howie Roseman arguably the best executive, not just in the NFL, Sam, but in all of professional sports. Do the Eagles have a tradable piece here in Tanner McKee? Because if you watched him last year and then you saw him last night, I mean, the kid processes and throws with anticipation the way a 10-year veteran would.
Yeah, I mean, he looked pretty spectacular. I think that the Eagles will be comfortable, or they want him as the backup. They remember brought in Kenny Pickett, and then they traded away Kenny Pickett, I think effectively to elevate Tanner McKee and let him be the primary backup there. Maybe he is a tradable commodity. Maybe teams would be interested in turning to him as a starting quarterback, but equally, I don't think the Eagles are going to be particularly keen on trading him away, because I think they like having him there as the principal backup to Jalen Hurts. And he's looked very good when they've put him into action or when he's had to play. I think they may have found something there.
Sam Monson, 33rd team. There are two other games outside of Commanders-Patriots, which we're zeroed in on here in D.C. They're going to get played tonight. Right at 7 o'clock, the Lions and the Falcons kick off. Just wanted a thought on those two teams from you. In Detroit's case, losing both coordinators, there's some thought maybe that they take a step back. Are you buying that? And then on Atlanta, what's your anticipation for Michael Penix, who's effectively a rookie with, you know, three games under his belt?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a risk anytime you lose two coordinators. We saw that a couple of years ago with Philadelphia. I think Detroit are maybe slightly better positioned to absorb that than the Eagles were. You know, Dan Campbell is such a kind of tone setter within the building. I think a lot of everything they do stems from him. They've also promoted from within, from guys that were, you know, familiar with the system. So I think they're well positioned to not take that step back, but it's always a risk and we won't really know about it until, you know, we see them in the regular season for real. And then, look, Michael Penix is one of the most fascinating stories because late in the season, we didn't get to see much of him, but what we did see was pretty spectacular. I mean, his level or his frequency of crazy, incredibly good throws late in the year was absolutely spectacular. And doesn't mean he was perfect. He missed quite a lot of routine layups, but the special end of what he brought to the table was pretty impressive. And I'm really excited to see what that offense looks like for real. I mean, we never really got to see what the Zach Robinson version of that offense was supposed to be because so quickly on, they had to change it to accommodate Kirk Cousins and what he was able to do now coming off that Achilles injury, you know, at his age. Michael Penix represents a chance to sort of unleash that offense and create the full playbook the way it was supposed to be. And I think that should be pretty exciting.
The other preseason game that's on tap tonight is Browns and Panthers, two super intriguing teams. When you think about what Cleveland chose to do at the quarterback position in the draft. And then for Bryce Young, when you think about the circumstances in which he got his job back last year, Andy Dalton had to get into a car accident for him to get back onto the field. What type of, you know, chance do you give him to, you know, solidify himself as a long-term starter this year in Carolina?
Yeah, Bryce Young looked really good when he got back in the lineup. Clearly, I think once they benched him, I felt like that was kind of his career over in Carolina. You know, you don't bench a guy like that with a view to reclaiming him down the line. You bench him because he's given you no choice, and that's usually the end of it. But like you said, he got another opportunity, came back, and he was like a different player. We saw Bryce Young from Alabama again, not Bryce Young from his time at Carolina. And, you know, the stats, I don't think, fairly reflected how well he played late in the year. There were a lot of drop passes. There were a lot of, you know, very good plays that were broken up by defenders or the receivers didn't come down with that they should have. I thought he played really, really well late in the year. And you saw evidence that, you know, Dave Canales was sort of meeting him in the middle in terms of helping him with the offense as well. So I'd be really excited by what he can do this year. The big sort of just a lingering thing over his shoulder is if he was able to kind of wilt and collapse that badly one time, how close is he to that happening again? You know, if he has a couple of bad games, does he go back in the tank or is he a different player now that he's sort of found his footing at this level?
Couple of moments left with Sam Monson. We'll let you out on this one. You know, give me a trend bucking take, right? Wherever you want to go, whether it's a team or a player, but where there's this group think on something that is going to happen and you don't really get it.
I guess, you know, a lot of people, the Texans offensive line last year was horrendous. It was maybe the worst offensive line in the NFL. And then they took that line and they traded away the best player from it. They traded away Laremy Tunsil. So on paper, it feels like that should be a disaster this year again. I don't know that the personnel is that bad though. And I think there's a solid or at least average offensive line in there somewhere with that starting five once they can get them all together and on the same page. I think so much of their problems a year ago were not necessarily personnel. It was, you know, they looked like they'd never seen a stunt before. They couldn't pick up blitzes. It was a disaster from a schematic point as well as the personnel. I think that line might be better than people are expecting it to be.
Sam, I want to ask you this. Aaron Glenn was, first of all, he's been awesome, I think, at the podium ever since he's gotten to New York. And I think he is the type of culture-setting guy that they need. He announced that they're going to play their starters, including Justin Fields, who got nicked up earlier in training camp. I guess my question is really centered around Fields, Sam. Like, is this his final act? And if it is, like, how do you think it plays out here in terms of him establishing himself as an NFL starter?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely his final chance to start, I think, long-term. You know, maybe he can get another chance way down the line, but this is basically it for him as a starter. He'll remain in the NFL for years because guys that are big, strong, fast, have strong arms, were high draft picks. Those guys are pretty hard to run out of the league. But, yeah, this is his chance to prove that there's a better starting quarterback in there than we've seen so far in his career. I think there is. I think there's much more potential in there than he's been able to show so far. I think if he gets the right coaching, he can be convinced to just trust his eyes and put the ball in the air more, and that's his biggest problem. He's got the arm. He's got the accuracy. Obviously, he's got the athleticism. He needs to trust his reads more than anything else. So, yeah, I think there's a chance that that happens, but now's the time to show it.
Sam, thank you. Great information.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll keep tracking you. We appreciate you.
Anytime. Take it easy.
You got it. Sam Monson, 33rd team, and Check the Mic with us on Grant and Danny. Just saw what the Bills PSLs at their new stadium that's going to open next year, so in September in 12 months, what it's going to cost fans to become a season ticket holder in the personal seat license. I think that's notable for Commanders fans because you're about to pay some pretty pennies to become a season ticket holder in a new stadium. I want to get into that as soon as we return next on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Prints and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Danny's vacation in Scotland looks from afar like it's been pretty fun. We'll have to ask him about it on Monday. That's when he comes back. In the meantime, we get to watch the Commanders and the Patriots tonight. We are previewing the game for you all the way up until 6:30 with Linnell Willingham. I'm Grant Paulson. You're locked into The Fan. Let's get you a quick double play driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. And it's sports-related, but it's off the beaten path today. Wanted to fit this into the program. So, Linnell, the new stadium is going to be expensive. This is what happens, by the way. Stadiums cost a lot of money to build, and go to a new stadium, everything's expensive, right? That's just how it's going to be. So the complaining about it, while I understand, is just complaining, shaking your fist at the sea. It's like saying, how does my lunch cost $19 now? Have you ever eaten lunch in 2025? Yeah. But... this one's going to sting a little bit for people. the idea of PSLs, while an inevitability anymore in sports, it's awful. It's the worst. Basically, if you're not familiar, you pay a huge amount of money just for the right to be a season ticket holder, essentially. That's how it works. So teams can charge, let's just say, $1,000, and you pay your $1,000 for your seat. And then you buy the games that you are going to go to. So like season tickets might cost, I'm going to make up another number, you know, for the season, $1,600. But the $1,000 you're paying is for your seat, and then you pay the $1,600 on top of that. So it's a fee to be a season ticket holder, essentially. And the Bills just put out a new stadium updated listing. One of their fans actually did it color-coded so that you could see where the PSLs are in the stadium and where the seats would be. But the PSLs range from, there are five sections very high above the end zone in one end zone where you can, just for $750, which is still expensive, but not the end of the world, I guess, get your seat. Okay, so $750, and then you buy season tickets, but that's the PSL. The other small number would be in the corners, high and corner of the end zone, so like where seats in the house, nosebleeds, you can, for $1,000, have a PSL. But if you want the sillies in the club level, $50K. You know, if there's $40,000 PSLs, $20,000, $15,000, $10,000.
No way.
Lower bowl, I'm going to say like 20-yard line at their brand-new stadium on the Bills' side of the field. I guess visitors isn't any different, which is interesting. But it looks like that's $6,000 for the PSL before you then go get your tickets. If you want 50-yard line, lower level, Bills' side of the field from like 40 to 40, $15,000 for the PSL based on the graphic I'm looking at. Now, I'm taking this as gospel. I haven't made a call to the Bills to confirm anything.
Well,
but this is what it costs, man. It's going to cost crazy money. So not everybody listening wants to be in the club level or 50-yard line on row 12 or something behind the Commander's bench. But my point is they have made it very clear PSLs will be a part of this new stadium. It's just the cost of doing business. We're going to have a beautiful, amazing new state-of-the-art facility, but people better start putting some money away if they're going to be season ticket holders because it's not going
to
be cheap.
I'm about to say, man, and I've always felt like I've been to two NFL games in my life, so it's an experience to me that, like, I much prefer, you know, sitting at home with listening to the broadcast and eating good food at a reasonable price than going and getting beat over the head at a stadium. But, like, when it was first announced, the PSL thing, like, I still, and as you're explaining it, I still don't, like, get it. What's the allure of it? Like, what is so special about having, like, your own seat? Like, do you get to, like, when the stadium is torn down at some point, do you get to take out your seat if you're the last PSL holder to have said
seat?
Well,
the big deal that I've always known about PSLs is generally you can pass them down.
It could be something within the family, essentially. Okay.
But, yeah, it's a personal seat license, context to sports, party, blah, 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 blah. Let's see. PSL is a one-time fee that gives the holder the right to purchase season tickets for a special seat in the stadium. It essentially provides a guaranteed right to purchase tickets for a particular seat for as long as the team plays in that venue. So that's the promise they're making. They're saying, as long as we're here, we'll have a seat for you. It's just, to me, it really is it's an opportunity to just get more money.
By the way, it is gouging,
but it's how they make their money back on building these stadiums. I mean, it's, you know, if everyone's paying a few $1,000 and you've got 15,000 season ticket holders, you know, and some of these are huge, as I just went through. Again, if this graphic's correct, you got people paying 10 and 15, up to $50,000 for a PSL. Now, I don't think that's a person. It would be a very rich one, I suppose. If, like,
right,
Jeff Bezos is getting some tickets, he won't notice that. But that's probably more companies, you know, people like that, that are going to shell that out. But I've been curious about the numbers, and this is the first time I've seen any newer stadiums' numbers come out. The Bills opened their new, beautiful facility in Orchard Park in 13 months. Let's go to John, who wants to hop in.
He's
in Arlington on Grant and Danny. What's up, John?
Hey, Grant. Hey, Linnell. So the numbers you should be looking at, like, so I'll preface this. I'm a longtime season ticket holder. 2 years I've been in a ton of club, and they treat you right. And, like, you know, that's an expense I can make because, you know, disposable income. I don't have kids. So
Tunnel Club, for people who have not experienced that, I know it's a lot of money. You'd have to remind me. It's like 15 grand or something, but it is
it
is awesome. I walk by there going to and from the field, the foods, the drinks. If you're a huge fan, you want to dap players up before and after the game. They've never had anything like that. And just to build something like that, John, the way that they did, like, people can complain it's expensive, then don't do it. Nobody's making you do it. But it's it's cool amazing. Option, and it's an amazing experience.
Yeah, no, I won't give it up. Like, I've been able to, like, send, like, close family, friends down there, like, hey, you know, I'm always down there, you go. But, like, to my point is, the Buffalo numbers are good with the PSLs, but our PSL numbers are going to be more close to, with this economy in this area, and we all know what this area is. It's going to be closer to SoFi. So, like, lower bowl, like, I've talked to the season ticket holders in the lower bowl, like, who sit right next to me, and we're all expecting, like, almost, like, 20 to 30K for the lower bowl. Like, I sit within, like, six rows of that, and that's what
I don't think that most people can afford that. I mean, they know more about their season ticket holders than I do. Appreciate the call. I think it's going to be more than what I just suggested, right? But your lower bowl, I could see being like 7,500, 10K, something like that. Twice that? Who has that money?
Who's paying? Exactly. Like, who's paying that type of money to go watch a football game?
Who has that? I mean, maybe I'm just showing my butt here a little bit, that your boy is, you know, maybe needs to rework the deal a couple times over. But who has that money laying around?
For real, though.
I mean, the PSL, I get what they're about. They help finance the construction and the renovation of stadiums. I understand how we got here. People can be upset about them. It's just the reality of what it is. But, you know, if you want to say $1,500, $2,000, $2,500, that's expensive, but people can justify that and make it work. I don't think that's what we're talking about either. I think he's right. Construction right now, the costs are massive. Like, they're building a stadium at a time where just getting metal and wood and like stuff that you need is the most expensive it's ever been. So I do. I think people are going to be in for a pretty stunning revelation when we find out what the numbers are. In D.C. compared to Buffalo, New York, in Orchard Park, it's going to – he's right. L.A. might be a better comp.
I know there's a lot of you watching on X and you're on YouTube in the chat. If you're someone that's going to buy a PSL, I will drop my Venmo, my Cash App. If you can do that, help your boy out, man. That's because that's just a ridiculous price to me. No matter what it is, like to drop $10,000 damn near on a sporting event, it just doesn't, I don't know, man.
Well, you still got to buy the tickets after that.
And that's the whole other thing. Like, I don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze at that point. Like,
that's just, you better be getting, as I always say, Linnell, this is a posting fee.
Yeah, yeah.
In baseball. So that you pay $50 million to negotiate with Shohei's team to then pay Shohei whatever you need to pay him.
Right.
This is just the right to have your seat. Now I need to pay for the game tickets. Grant and Danny without Danny on the Fan. Beltway Blitz, Commanders, Nationals, Commanders. A little football heavy, you wonder why? Well, maybe it's because it's a game night, for goodness sake, people. Let's keep it together.
Yeah.
Let's keep our emotion in check. This is the Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you love golf or just great storytelling, you've got to check out Invested in the Game, a new original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode highlights remarkable people who have dedicated their time, energy, and heart to the sport. You'll hear from voices like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. Now, you might be wondering, why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Well, you might already know Schwab from their five other podcasts covering investing and the markets. Quick plug, you can find those at schwab.com/podcasts. But this one's different. Invested in the Game goes beyond finance into something many of Schwab's clients are deeply passionate about, golf. Schwab has supported the game for decades through events, promotions, and sponsorships at both the pro and collegiate level. This podcast is their way of sharing the incredible stories behind the game. Listen now at schwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.